Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Hey, welcome to church. My name's Steve, if you haven't met me before, and I have Joan here with me. She's one of our mission partners, and we're going to be talking a bit to Joan in a moment. But as you heard from Elaine and from the video, we're just starting a three-week mission series. 3 weeks where we're just talking about God's heart for mission. Who knows that Matthew 28, 16 to 20, who loves that? The Great Commission tells us God's heart for mission. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, now go therefore and make disciples of all nations. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, and behold, I am with you always. This is his heart for the nations. And this is what we want to be talking about. We are a church on mission. And what we're talking about for the next 3 weeks is that everyone is on mission. Even as I sit here comfortable with my legs crossed, you know, I'm not used to sitting up here, but I'm going to have my legs crossed because I feel really comfortable. I'm on mission. You're on mission. Everyone's on mission. And we talk about pray, give, go. We can pray for local mission, what God is doing in our local sphere of influence, at your workplace, at your school, at your kids' sports teams. We can pray for a specific nation. There's people in this house that have, you know, hearts for Israel. People have hearts for India. So many different nations. Hearts for Zimbabwe. I think I'm the only Zimbabwean here today. Any Zimbabweans? You got a heart for Zimbabwe, but my brother's from Kenya. Oh, I love it. But, you know, God will put a nation on your heart. For some, it's fasting and praying for a nation. You know, but it's not always all of us, you know, sensing to fast and pray for a nation. But it could just be corporate prayer. It could be personal prayer. It actually makes a difference when we pray for what God is doing in the nations, what God is doing in our neighborhood. And today, one of the things we want to focus on is what happens when we pray, you know, for mission. What happens when we pray for mission? And then next week, we're going to talk about what happens when we give. What happens in the last week, we'll talk about when we go. And there's all different types of going. And when you look at the Bible in Revelations chapter 7, verse 9, you see a picture of heaven. And John says he saw this multitude. He saw this people. It was a multitude, people of all nations, all tongues, all tribes, a people of every tribe and nation. I can see every tribe and nation in this room right now. It's like a picture of a heaven. But for all tribes, people, every tongue, to make it to heaven, it takes all of us playing a part. We all have a part to play when it comes to mission, whether that's locally, whether that's overseas. So that's what we want to be talking about today. That the gospel would continue to spread, not just here, but overseas. And what great opportunity we have to have my sister, our friend, one of our very own, Joan Roos, with us today. Can we welcome her? Joan leads Jacob's Well and Rejoice Center. And her focus for so many years has been around providing clean water through borewells in India, providing education to really help and break that poverty line. So a lot of us know Joan. Who doesn't know Joan here? Come on. Do you all know Joan? I thought there were some new people. You don't know Joan. Tanya and Donna don't know Joan. Yeah, you guys at the back don't know Joan. But today you get to know Joan. She's actually part of one of our life groups here and has been, you know, part of South since South has been going for the last 9 years. Can you believe it? It's been 9 years. But Joan's been part of Richmond AOG, Bridge Church, Pneuma Church. And Jacob's Well started, 21 years ago, 2005, 22? Tell us when it started.
We started working in villages in 2005 and we started bringing children for education in 2005. But it started 2 years before, in 2003, when I went on my first mission trip and went to India, to a place that I thought I would never, ever go to.
Wow.
And in that trip and 1 month, 4 months later, I went back again because God was calling me to something. I didn't know what it was. And I went into a village where a grandmother put a baby in my arms. Long story short, she was very ill. There was no clean water. So I came home and drove my Richmond friends crazy with, we have to do something.
Yeah, wow.
And through the support of a few people and a lot of prayer, we bought a machine and we started sinking bore wells. And
wow.
out of that has grown small in world size, but big in our size organization. Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time, and I love that it started from just going on a missions trip.
Mm.
You know, we have opportunities to go on mission as part of Enuma. If you go to the website, the missions website, you'll be able to find out when mission trips are coming. But, you know, that is part of it. And nations are really on God's heart. And as Enuma South, we say we are a house of prayer. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7 says, and my house, for my house will be a house of prayer. But it just doesn't say it will be a house of prayer. It says for all nations. We're a house of prayer for all nations. So the prayers that you pray personally, the prayers we pray corporately for nations actually make a difference. These prayers make a difference. And there is a QR code that you can scan that's got mission prayer points. If we can have that up on the screen, if you can just take a photo or use a QR code, Mission Prayer Points, it's going to come up. There it is. Let's see your phones. If you're a praying church, just go to that QR code and scan that. You will see a few of the prayer points to be praying for. We have many, many mission partners as a church that we've partnered with over the years. We've got new ones also. But as you scan that, save that, we'll continue to remind you of it as you pray throughout the week to be praying for different missionaries. We prayed this morning for some of our mission partners over in Mozambique, Pedro and Guida. So you get to pray, and this gets updated quite regularly. So what happens when we pray? Joan, you know, as we chat, you know, different stories will come up of what's been happening in Jacob's well. You update us quite frequently as you come. And you're on holidays, kind of holidays. It's not really holidays, but you come. How often do you come out to Australia from India?
It depends on my visa, how long I have with my visa. April, May is really, really, really hot weather, so I try and avoid India in April, May.
You escape.
Yes. Well, I come home and I work because I have to keep talking about what we do here in Australia to get the sponsorship to be able to do what we do in India.
That's good.
Hopefully in not too many more years, they'll be self-sufficient. But at the moment, they still need us and they'll always need our prayer support.
Mm, that's awesome. Hey, so when we're talking about prayer, maybe share with us, because I know you have people all over the world. You have people all over Australia. And as Enuma, we're just so privileged to be, you know, one of your close partners and family. But what have you seen over these 21 years prayer do for what you're doing for yourself and also for Jacob's Well and Rejoice Centre?
So many times we have miraculous answers to prayer. So many times government officials will come to ask me questions to try and trap us. And
do you mean bribe you?
No, to try and find out whether we're converting anyone to Christianity or forcefully converting anyone. And I'm quite volatile. but when they come, I open my mouth and it's not my words that come out. Holy Spirit gives me the words to say, and they're always perfect for the occasion. Whereas if it was me, I'd be raising my hands and getting upset and it wouldn't be perfect. So the Lord helps with that. We've had healings. We've had miracles of people's lives being saved. We've had the miracle of so many children getting a really good education now and going back into their communities. We have 7th and 8th class kids who have been doing now at summer holidays vocational Bible study in their villages with all the kids in the villages, starting with worship, starting with dance, sharing the gospel, them doing it, not the grown-ups, the teenagers, the young ones. It's fabulous.
Yeah, talk about Lord send the labourers. So these are children that are part of the school.
Yeah.
And then when it's summer holidays, you happen to be here and they happen to be back in their villages and they're running Bible studies in their local villages. That's how the gospel spreads, isn't it? And that's because of prayer. Amen.
And they know that and believe absolutely that when they pray for someone, they will be healed. Whatever it is that they need will be granted. And their faith is so strong. Pastor Dave Dorey was prayed for many years ago when he visited. He had a really bad back.
Wow.
To the point where at one stage we were going out into villages and he had to stop and lean hard against a rock to stretch his back to keep walking. The children surrounded him and prayed. And we went down the mountain road and halfway down I said, how's your back? He said, I've got no pain.
Come on.
Just amazing. It's
Praise God. You were telling me the other day about, you know, people praying for you around the world and how there was a time people were being woken up in the night.
Yeah.
And they just had you on their mind and they were praying and little did they know why they were being woken up.
And I think that there's someone here who was with me on that trip.
Really?
Yeah. I think Chris was on the trip with us.
Hey, Chris. There's Chris.
We were in Andhra Pradesh. We were in a village. We'd prayed, we'd shared the gospel, we'd sung songs, we'd given testimonies. But as we were trying to leave and we had two young women with us in the team, a whole lot of young men surrounded us and blocked our way to get to the vehicle. And all of a sudden, it just opened up. There was a way through, and we went through very quickly, got in the vehicle, locked the doors. When I got home, a few weeks later, one of the women in Richmond said, I was woken up at 1:30 in the morning with an overwhelming need to pray for you.
Wow.
We worked out what the time was, and that was the time when we were surrounded by these guys, and it was really quite scary. But the way... God opened it was like opening the sea. We just were able to walk through the sea of people and be safe.
That's amazing. Yeah. Isn't it crazy?
And for her, it's a wonderful thing to know when your prayers get answered, especially the miraculous ones, but all of them. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's crazy how sometimes we feel something come on our hearts, on our minds, and it's like, where did that come from? And that's God inviting us to intercede, to pray. To pray for that specific thing. It might be even something you don't usually think about, but the Lord's always looking for someone to partner with him so that he can move. It's such a privilege we have.
He would have kept us safe, but this was better than just keeping us safe because it was a tangible encouragement for the lady in Australia, but also for us to know that he has got our back. Yeah.
And recently you were in New Zealand and there were supposed to be storms. What happened there?
We had a cyclone. I was in New Zealand a month ago, or just over 5 weeks ago. There was a cyclone. The Cook Strait between the two islands is always, or often, bad. The day before was so bad the ferry didn't go. I get seasick on a mill pond, so I sent out a prayer request. Please pray that I'll be able to get across without... dying of seasickness. Someone in the front row told me to command the waters to be still. I didn't have to do that because that day it was like a mill pond.
Wow.
The next day was like this again. And the day after was so bad that it was stopped. But for that crossing, every person on that ferry was blessed through the prayers of people who prayed that the waters would be calm so I wouldn't be revoltingly seasick.
Wow.
It was beautiful.
Our prayers, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. It's powerful and effective. Now, when you think about Jacob's well, you know, and Rejoice Center, what's the relationship between digging wells and the school? How does that work together? So give us a bit of a summary of that.
After our first couple of wells, the people who were sinking the bores contacted us and said, there's so many children not going to school. There may be schools, but teachers aren't turning up. But in lots of villages, there isn't a school. Or if there is one that's 2 kilometres away, but they have to wade through a river. How can a 5-year-old wade through a river in the monsoon? They can't. So can we help them? Lots of them are orphans. So we started with 19 children in a rented house, purchased 3.5 acres of land and started to build. Always when we've started building, we've never had enough to finish it. But before we need it, we have it. And that's the Lord's provision too. Not what we want, but what we need. So that was 21 years ago. Some of those children are now qualified double degree students. 5 are now teaching in our school.
Wow.
That starts in the next session. Another one is just coming onto our board of directors. Another one is training to become our manager. He's an assistant manager now. He came to us with his 3 siblings after both parents had died. So he gets the heartache of children who have lost parents. Mm. He understands what growing up in a hostel situation can be, and he understands how important getting an education is. He's got a Bachelor of Science. He couldn't get a job, but he's got a lifetime job now.
Yeah. Wow. So is it that where you have the clean water in that village, children from there also end up at the school?
Some do. We can't. One village group of elders came one day asking for their children from the village to be in our school, all 75 of them. And we said, we're sorry, we can't. The Bible says we should care for the orphans,
yeah,
and the fatherless, and the widows. In a village situation, the widows need to be at home because that's where their community is and their language and their family. But for the orphans and the fatherless and the motherless and sometimes the very poor, we now have a safe place for them to be.
Wow. So I've seen a few photos of where the school started on that 3.5 acre piece of land. There was nothing on there.
No.
If we could maybe have some of those photos of the school, and how it's developed over time.
That old lady doesn't have to go to the river to bathe anymore.
So that's all that was there to start off with?
Yep. And then that was our first building.
Wow.
Painted like a licorice all sort.
Look at that. So colourful.
And then that's our hall, and that's the guest rooms on that end. So when you come on your mission trip to visit us, you get to stay in our guest rooms that have Western toilets and hot water and good mattresses.
Great.
So that end doorway was my room for about 10 years. So then we had to build another floor because we needed boys on one floor, girls above.
Wow, it's huge.
Then we built our school. Again, we had $11,000. We started building the second floor. We needed about $90,000.
Wow.
But as we started to build, it started to come in. That's the junior school on this end and boys' hostel. Because we had more and more boys, we needed to separate them from the girls.
There you go.
This little video, you're just going to...
I know that's not the video.
It's not going to go
that's
through? Okay, so yeah. That's our gates. Some of you know Vicky Williamson. She painted the signs. After she'd finished the Oria writing, people stood back and looked at it and said, "That doesn't mean rejoice." And she closed her eyes and took a deep breath and said, "What does it mean?" "It means come in and be happy."
Wow.
It's perfect. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So then our school got bigger. We had to build another floor.
Oh.
And we're waiting on approval plans right now for our degree college building.
All right. So that's something we continue to be praying for.
Yes, please. Because
for college, university.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it starts off as a college. When we can prove ourselves, it becomes a university.
Yeah.
But it's degrees, yeah. That's our junior. They're our junior students, yeah.
That's wonderful. Look at those rejoicing children.
See the man sitting down on this end?
Yep.
He had polio when he was 3.5. He woke up one day and he couldn't walk. So he crawls everywhere. He came... in 2022, to ask for his daughter to be admitted into our school because, you know, she has a father, but he couldn't work. So as he crawled across our field, I'd already said yes, then I asked him some questions. What do you do? Nothing. I used to have a little kiosk doing computer work. Okay, what level did you do at school? Oh, I started a commerce degree. but he hadn't finished it. Wow. What was your favourite subject? Maths. Oh, praise God. We need a maths tutor.
Wow.
Would you like to come and work here a couple of days a week? Yes, please. So if you're going to be here for 2 or 3 days, stay the night. Don't try and get back to your village because it was too hard. He hasn't left.
Still there. That's amazing.
He's now finishing his qualifications. He's teaching maths, but he's teaching computers. But in most societies, fortunately, he's a Christian. His father is a pastor, but I didn't know that at the time.
Wow.
But in most communities, when someone has that sort of disability, they don't get medical help. They're basically left to die. Mm. But what a blessing he is to us. His name's Dibendra.
Dibendra. So, Joan, with the university, college, permits that you need, how long has that taken so far, this process you've been... Because we've been praying for that for at least a year or something.
Yeah, we put the application in March and... Okay.
March last year?
Yeah, March last year. So we expected it might take 2 or 3 months, but we don't pay bribes, so everything takes much longer. Mm. So I asked people to pray late last year, early this year, for a fire certificate. You needed a building permit, building registration to get your fire certificate, but you can't get your building registration until you've got your fire certificate. So we prayed for breakthrough, and... the Lord connected us with a man who knew the leader, the head of the fire department. So he finally came out because this other man kept reminding him that he should come. And we got our permit on the 15th of August last year. On the 17th of August, that man was transferred who wrote the permit. And on the 19th, the other man was transferred. So we had that tiny window of opportunity where the Lord... connected us with that man through a prayer request to everybody that's on my WhatsApp list.
Come on.
And it was just that timing. Another week, neither of them would have been there. Mm. So keep praying.
Yeah.
When you get a prayer request from anybody, you might think, what point is it if I pray? But the Lord might be waiting for you just to come on board for that one time. Who knows?
Mm. Yeah. Thanks for that, Joan. Let's be praying into that, because there's all... How many... You've got 180 students through the school at the moment? Yeah. So you want to see these kids just continue on, finish high school, going to university. And I love how everything's growing from within.
Yeah.
You know, we always say, Lord, you know, send the labourers. The labourers are there. The labourers are being equipped. They're growing. Similar thing in churches. Sometimes like, Lord, send the labourers. But the labourers are in here for whatever the Lord wants to do in here, whatever the Lord wants to do in your lives. It's got to be like, start with me. And, Joe, we want to just keep praying for you, you know, over time, because you...
This is a mission trip.
There's a mission trip. Dave, I reckon you should run a mission trip. I'll come along. In India.
Okay.
I nominate Dave.
You all heard that.
But that would be something great to see. That was a few years ago. We've had mission trips to India. These are all people from British Church at the time. Margaret.
Margaret still is, yeah.
Teresa.
Yeah.
Well, that's Joffa, who's up here the front. Great intercessor in Yuma Church. You might recognise some of those people, Tonya.
A lot of city people there, yeah.
Yeah. So just tell us, before we finish up this segment, just maybe a couple of stories of some of these students, like Tobiro and then a couple of girls. So there's a photo of little Tobiro. There it is.
Yeah. So after we sink the bore, we don't walk away. We try and plant local pastors, local Bible people in villages to work with the community as tutors, as literacy teachers. It's still a very difficult community. We can't... If you look at our website, there's only one place that says Christian, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to do what we can do. Toby Rowe was recognised as a really bright little boy who would never have gone to school had he stayed in his village. We sank a bore there. He came to us He has just finished his Bachelor of Science and he's applied for his education degree that will hopefully start in the next couple of months. He's been sponsored by a South person since he was tiny.
Wow.
So
how many years is that from?
Well, he's 18 and he came to us when he was about 5, so 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So sometimes when you're sponsoring a child with us or with any other organisation, you don't realise what a huge impact you make in their lives and their community and their village. It's not just one child. You're really sponsoring a transformation. He is a beautiful prayer warrior. Wow. He loves the Lord. He wants to serve however he can, and he's realised that teaching is a brilliant way to serve the people, to get paid well, to be able to look after family, and make a huge difference on a physical, emotional and spiritual level. So two little girls, we have their photos coming up too, I think.
Yep.
In 2008, we took this photo in the rainy season. The girl on this side is Basanti. Sorry, I've got a funny throat. Basanti, she, as you see, she was about 8 then, maybe 7, walking around in just a pair of knickers because that's what most of the village children wear. They don't have money for clothes. The little girl beside her is Bumini. Both of those girls are now in their tertiary education. Actually, Basanti finished her Bachelor of Arts last year, and she's halfway through her education degree and she's teaching in our school. The other girl is in her second year nursing. Both of them, their fathers are dead. The village they come from is our very first bore well, sunk in 2005.
Wow.
And the transformation in that village is amazing in some ways, awful in others because we still keep to traditions. But there's a huge number of believers in these villages. All along this river, two rivers where we've sunk a lot of bores and villages along, in every village there is now home church or a church that's been built, where there were none. So those two girls.
That's wonderful.
She's even more than that now. So there's hundreds of children's stories, and I won't turn around and look because otherwise I will be here till next week.
That's right. You also have stories of, you know, dads just bringing kids out of nowhere. What's that one story you told me about? I think a mum that passed away in childbirth.
Yeah. So one of the villages where they're doing the vacation Bible study, and a village that Joff has gone and prayed in a couple of times, a father arrived one day. His wife died in childbirth, and we are now caring for his three children. He stayed with them for the first year to help look after the little boy, the baby. But he arrived 3 years ago, about this time of year, in the hot weather, with two small children in his arms, carrying them. Basically, as soon as I saw him, I thought, oh, here we go. Yep, more children. But the father of the children had gone to Chennai to work, and no one had heard about him ever again. They don't know whether he's alive or dead, whether he's got a new family, nothing. Mum was left with 7 children, baby on a hip. And the next two, which were the two that came to us, Mum had reached the point where she needed a break, basically, and she took the baby and she went over the hill and far away to her home village, and no one knew where she was or if she was even coming back. So they brought Rashmi and Santosh to us and said, we can watch the big ones, but we're in the fields planting the rice harvest, getting ready to plant. The river is dangerous. We can't keep looking at these children. Please, can you take them? We said yes.
Wow.
About a month later, Mum arrived to make sure that her children had actually been where they said and hadn't been sold or trafficked or anything else. And when she saw them, they were clean, they were tidy, their hair was done, cute. And She was just so grateful. I thought there'd be lots of tears, but it was rejoicing because she knew that these two were safe, that they will get a good education, that they will have a really strong future that they would not have had in their village. And that's what we're all about.
Oh, you guys are doing so much over there, and you don't do it by yourself. So who's looking after the place whilst you're away, and who are some of you? I think we met a gentleman last year, Sangram.
Sangram.
Yeah.
Sangram was here about in May last year. He came for a month and remembers very fondly everybody, and especially soft serve ice cream. That became his favourite thing.
Soft serve ice cream.
Sangram is the principal of our school. He started with us when he was 17. He was in year 12 and studying, and he came for part-time work as a tutor. So since then, he's finished his arts degree, his master's degree and his education degree, and is now our principal of our school.
That's amazing.
Married with two children. Yeah.
That's so good.
And he was fatherless. So, again, he understands that. Sudhakar is our manager. I met him at a wedding in the next state of a young man that I met in a city, Joel Naraparedi. You would have been his vintage.
Remember Joel.
Yeah. If you're in India, please come to my wedding. And they billeted me with a family, and I thought, chilly, bathrooms. I was really anxious. But they were wonderful. And Sudhakar had been working in a Christian organisation 20 kilometres from our base. He'd left because the organisation had been wound up, but he came back to work with us, and he's been with us for 10 years now. Through a heart attack and triple bypass and COVID and all of those things, amazingly faithful and wonderful. Mm. And he's now training up our young man to become the leader.
That's
so
great.
So it's all locals over there. Not one cent stays in Australia. Everything goes overseas. Anything that you donate goes overseas. There is no admin costs. We pay wages in India, but it all goes there.
That's great.
You can see what you can see.
Mm, so good to see all this detail, Joan, all that you're sharing. What are some other things you would say? Joan's got some flyers that will be available. You can grab one with more information. But what are some other things? You know, we want to be praying for the certificate for the university college. What are some other things that you would say we can be praying for over the next few weeks and months?
Thank you. Mid-June is when the school year starts. So I am expecting to be having lots of phone calls over the next 2 or 3 weeks with uncles, aunties, grandparents bringing children in because it's the new school year. Can these children have a place? So please pray that if there are children coming in, that they really are the needy children. We've had so many resurrections of parents who were dead and then are not after a year or two. And children have to say, my father is dead, when they know that the uncle who bought them is really their father. It's quite sad. So please pray for our field workers, our pastors who work out in the villages. They have a really tough time. And Orissa was the first state to bring in anti-conversion laws. They're actually not as severe as some of the newer states, but it's getting harder and harder and harder to profess Christianity because it's being suppressed, which is why we need all our local people to be educated, to be true believers, not token believers, but truly love the Lord with all their heart, because they are the future of India and possibly the world. So please pray for the finances to continue, but more importantly, pray for the staff at Rejoice Centre, for our field workers, for our teachers, and for the community. Pray for India. Mm. Pray for India. 1.4 billion people.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe 4% are believers.
Wow.
It's a lot.
It's
still only 4%.
And you're saying if people do convert, they pretty much get cast out of their family. Out of their caste, was it? We were talking about a caste.
If you marry out of your caste, the lower caste family are duty bound to kill you because you've shamed them. It doesn't always happen, but it does happen a lot. It's challenging on so many different levels. There's so much more structure. Caste, even in every caste, there's different castes. The tribal people, who are the people we mainly work with, don't even fit into the caste system. They're underneath. And then the Christians come under that. So if you convert to Christianity, you lose your place in your caste. You're often shunned by not just your family, but the village. If you're a Christian family, your house will probably be knocked down. If you're worshipping the Lord, you may get beaten, you may get killed. We don't hear about it, but those of you who know about Open Doors, India's still in the top 10 of persecuted countries. So it's challenging. So if you think about me, pray, because there's obviously something going on, and it may be that I'm just feeling like I can't do this anymore, Lord. And that happens occasionally. Or it may be that we're about to face some sort of challenge, that we have the right words to say to the right people and not inflame anything. So that's where I have to try not to speak.
Thank you so much, Joan. So many things we can be partnering with Joan, praying for, giving, and, you know, staying in touch with Joan. Just coming back to where we are right now for a moment. We meet in the Salvation Army building. Yeah. How good is the Salvation Army as an organisation, and even just locally what the Salvation Army is doing around here? It's pretty amazing that we get to partner with them. We have you know, Jenny Cloak, who's the officer of the Salvation Army. And, you know, you come in here during the week into that foyer, there's so much activity happening. People from the community coming to get food, coming to get different types of assistance. You know, we have a few of people that are part of this church that have given up time during the week to help out with the Salvation Army. Give us a wave if you're helping out the Salvation Army during the week. There's three hands a few away today. And, you know, I walk in sometimes and I see some of these guys praying for people, talking to people, getting food for them. And as we've said, we all can also give food. Like, is it called, well, what's canned food called? Perishable, imperishable?
Non-perishable.
You know, there's a little bucket that you can drop food in any weekend, any time during the week. To help out with that, you can always, you know, chat to us or some of those guys just on how can I help. But it's just been amazing seeing the power of prayer for the last 18 months that we've been part, you know, of using this building. Not just we just use the building, but we actually partner with Jenny and the Salvos. You know, they run a Rough Sleepers program. So there's actually people, as some of you might have heard, that don't have homes. Some of them might have work, but not a home. Some of them don't have work and a home. And most of them live in their cars. And so they get to park around the building. They get to use the showers here. You know, at certain times, they get to use the kitchen facilities. You know, they find a home within the Salvation Army help. And Jenny and the Salvation Army actually help, you know, these guys to find a home. You know, through the government and different agencies. And whilst we've been here at the Salvation Army, you know, I can think of at least four people that, as we've prayed and got to know them, as the guys that are serving during the week have prayed, also got to know them as we have interacted in different ways, that we've seen actually and heard of these guys finding homes. You know, there's one guy recently who's been here for 3 years, you know, staying in his car, tenting out there, but just 2 weeks ago, found a home. Wonderful. Found a home. And, you know, that's just one story. I can think of three or four of those stories, and there's more. But we get to partner with these with the Salvation Army in that. And we've seen some of those guys do Alpha. We've seen a number of salvations through that. We've seen guys come into church. So that's some of what's happening here locally. And wherever you are, in your workplaces, in your neighbourhoods, we just pray that you know that you are on mission in those places, in your local coffee shop. You know, when you go to work, when you're walking down, you know, your street, you're on mission to spread the gospel, to spread his love in your actions. But it all starts with prayer. Are you actually praying, Lord, I want to be on mission. Who do you want me to show your love? Who do you want me to help? So I just encourage you to be thinking about that locally. It's not just about going overseas. That's part of it. But we all have a part to play here and overseas. But it starts at home. And I just love for you, Joan, that it started with you going on a mission trip. I think she was a banker working in the bank. And one of the people at church at Richmond Temple, you know, was our finance person. And she would relate with Joan. And through that, Joan got saved. Joan started going to church. And the rest is history. And Joan, we just honor you for giving your life to this. Seriously, you have given your life to this. And you just keep going. And we just pray that, the Lord just keeps adding to what you're doing.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.